Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I am your laryngitis-prone host, Mike DeCamp.
Yep, got that smoky voice going on there.
Well, it's not from smoking,
but
it's irritating. But I have got the laryngitis there, folks, so Nancy's going to carry the load. She carries the load most of the time anyway, so it's not that big of a difference, but here we go.
And the pressure is on.
The pressure is on. So I probably won't say a lot, or I will, who knows what my voice will do.
Right. And
we're excited to have with us today a special guest, Stephanie Daly. And she is the proud owner of a cool company called Send a Friend a Lasagna.
Yeah, get ready. If you haven't eaten today when you're listening to this, you're going to get hungry, I predict.
We'll see.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
So excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And before we jump into Stephanie's details, we want to do the... what do we call this thing?
You need to tell us, Mike, what's your creative indulgence before that voice just completely goes.
I gave you an opening. You jumped right in.
I did. See, I'm getting good at this.
What's my creative indulgence? Well, I was in California this week.
Yes, we were.
So I flew to San Jose, and then I flew to Los Angeles, and then I finally flew home. And when I went to the airport yesterday, I picked up a book, and it's a book by James Rollins called Kingdom of Bones. It's a thriller.
Okay.
Now, I got to tell you, I've read a couple of other books by James Rollins, and he is quite good at writing a thriller. They're kind of techno science, science fiction thrillers. And he's got this group called the Sigma Force. It kind of ties in real science and real government agencies with science fiction and fictional groups. But it's kind of cool. This one, it says, it begins in Africa. A United Nations relief team in a small village in the Congo makes an alarming discovery. An unknown force is leveling the evolutionary playing field. Men, women, and children have been reduced to a dull, catatonic state. The environment surrounding them, plants and animals, has grown more cunning and predatory, evolving at an exponential pace. The insidious phenomenon is spreading from a cursed site in the jungle known to the locals as the Kingdom of Bones and sweeping across Africa, threatening the rest of the world.
That does sound like a thriller.
Yeah, I'm only about, probably not even quite a quarter, probably about a quarter of the way in. Pretty exciting book.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting
book.
Good. I like James Rollins. And James, if you're listening to this ever and you want to be on the podcast, we'd love
just
to interview
sitting
you.
Sitting around listening to the old Cutter's Notch.
Nancy, what's yours?
So I don't watch a lot of TV or movies, but I recently have. And this movie was out for a while. It's called Promising Young Woman. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was about this young woman was traumatized by an event in college where her best friend dies and she seeks revenge.
Oh,
in this movie. And it was very interesting the way it all played out. She came across as maybe not so smart, but in the end she was very smart. So I don't tend to go, I want happy endings, you know, fluffy stories. And this definitely was not that, but it was very interesting the way it was done. So Promising Young Woman, you can probably find it out there on streaming or on demand.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Stephanie?
What is my, I indulge in a lot of things. So my husband and I could be professional binge watchers. We love watching shows, binging them. we're currently watching Succession, which is an amazing show.
Oh, I've heard that's really good.
So good. And Kiefer Sutherland has a new show called
Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole. And it's really cool. It's a great, we were big 24 fans. So we love seeing him, watching him again. And, you know, Food Network, I'm a complete Food Network junkie. I love
Do you like all kinds of food shows or just like baking or like a particular one, you know?
I can't bake to save my life.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. No, but I love like Beat Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
I love Chopped and stuff like that. So, yeah, I love that stuff. And what else? Oh, I recently, well, I've read a couple of times Glennon Doyle's book. It's called, oh my gosh, why am I not?
It's, because you're on the spot.
Think of it a minute. And I'll say, I watched another movie, Mike, while you've been, when he's been gone, you know, the TV's not under his domain. But the other movie I watched was called Lion with Dev Patel. And it's based on a true story.
Oh, really?
Have you heard of it? So it's like this young man from India. And the crux of the story is, I mean, he was, as a child, he got lost, separated from his older brother and his mom, and gets taken a long ways away on a train, accidentally ends up in an orphanage, adopted by a family in Tasmania. Mm-hmm. And then as a young adult goes back to India to try to find that village and find his mom and his family. And that was very interesting.
Cool. Yeah. The book is called Untamed.
And okay. I've heard of that.
Yes. It's an incredible book. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's an incredible book. When you're ever feeling like a little bit, what is the word I'm looking for? If you're feeling a little like down on yourself or something, you can read that book and it will, put you in the right direction. She also has a podcast with her wife, Abby Wambach, used to play soccer.
Yeah.
And it's called We Can Do Hard Things. And they have new episodes every week on Tuesday and Thursday. And I am a pod squad junkie. So
okay, all right.
I also love true crime. So
so many people are really, really in. That's very popular.
Yeah. So I worked at an agency that we represented Ashley Flowers and her Crime Junkie podcast. Yeah. So I listen. Ashley has a very soothing voice. Uh-huh. So I listen to her while I go to sleep.
Soothing voice, but crime.
Murderous.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That's interesting. I was at a business meeting out of town last week and we were talking, something came up about serial killers. And I was I worked with one.
No.
Yeah, she did.
I did. Which, I knew him well.
Which one?
If anybody's in the Indianapolis area, and you can Google it and look it up, but his name was Herb Baumeister.
Okay.
And they found several bodies. And even in the last couple of years, up in Carmel, Westfield area. They found several bodies there. He ended up taking his own life. But you can look up the story online. And even recently, authorities were coming out and saying, hey, if anybody lost someone during this time frame, if you want to come and give like some DNA, you know, saliva or whatever, so they could try to identify, because they're still finding some bodies on that property. The current owner of that place, of that home, has allowed authorities to come in and to do stuff. But
it's crazy.
I had no idea. I mean, we worked together.
Yeah.
A group of us, we'd had lunch a few times. And I remember when it came out on the news several years ago, we were watching the news. And I was like, Mike, I know him. I worked with him.
So you didn't think anything was off with him at all?
No. I mean, he was a typical, you know.
Interesting.
Typical guy, you know, very charismatic.
Huh.
Very personable, charismatic. Really?
They're usually kind of loners and very to themselves. Yeah. Yeah.
So
interesting.
You just never know.
No, I guess not.
That's the scary part. Yeah. There were a few years ago that I took my oldest daughter on a trip to the Grand Canyon and we went rafting through the Grand Canyon. I had everything planned out except for the very last step, which was getting from the train station back to Flagstaff. I didn't have that figured out. Mm-hmm. And we got to the train station and there was this couple that we met on the train and they're like, we'll give you a ride back. Mm-hmm. And we got in the back of their car, which was a 2-door coupe. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have an easy exit. Mm-hmm. And I'm riding along with them and all of a sudden it hit me.
This could not be a good idea.
This might not be good.
Thankfully, they were legit, but right. it gave me pause. What do I do if you start thinking about contingencies? Because you just really don't know what's in. What's the old saying from The Shadow? No one knows.
Oh, only the shadow knows.
Only the shadow knows. Yeah.
So.
Well, enough about horror and crime.
I have news about horror. I finished the story for my new book.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so I completed the story. Now, that doesn't mean it's ready for publication. I've got all kinds of editing work to do on it.
Thanks to the dog.
And details, but thanks to the dog. I've been up working consistently on it every day, and I get the story finished. And it's a classic monster horror story.
Okay.
So think back to the classic monsters. Mm-hmm. One of them visits Cutter's Notch, Indiana.
There you go. There's the connection.
There's the connection.
So
anyway,
moving on.
Go ahead, Nancy.
So we're here to talk about Stephanie. And I will say I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you.
I have heard of your company, your efforts, through social media. There are some people that I follow that have recommended you.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. What a great concept.
Thank you.
And then through a mutual friend, he had told me about you and I was like, oh, I would love to meet her and then have her come on the podcast. He was like, yeah, I'm sure she'd do it. And then randomly, was it a few weeks ago, you were helping my friend out and I was happened to be there and I was like, oh, I need to talk to you now. I need to have you over. So
yes.
Anyways, Stephanie Daly, owner, creator,
all of it,
all of it above of Send a Friend Lasagna.
Yes.
So tell us, what is Send a Friend Lasagna?
Send a Friend Lasagna is exactly what it sounds like. It is. I work out of a commercial kitchen in Beech Grove and I make fresh lasagnas. And I don't personally, I used to make fresh lasagnas and deliver them, but now I have a guy that does my delivery things.
Yes. Nice.
So we make fresh lasagnas, we deliver them to their homes. It's kind of a, it comes fresh so they can bake it whenever they want. And, it's my little gem. It's my
How in the world did you come up with this idea?
It's so crazy. oh my gosh. So I spent 13 years in the insurance business and then I did digital marketing for 10 years and I'm the lasagna person in the family. So like if anything happened, I would make a lasagna. Like if we knew somebody who's family passed away or somebody had a baby or whatever. Right. My mom would call and say, hey, so-and-so needs a lasagna. And I would just make it and take it. I've always had the lasagna blood in me.
Sure.
I've had the restaurant blood in me. My grandparents owned a restaurant in Carmel back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And I used to walk around like that, like I owned it. So,
I read that on your
Italian restaurant?
No, it wasn't. It was a prime rib and steak.
Yeah.
Kind of restaurant.
Yeah.
It was like the first in Indiana that had like a huge salad bar. We were like the first in Indiana that had like fresh and it was like 75 items on it. It was huge.
That used to be such a big deal.
It was. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of like had that restaurant food love in me forever. Yeah. I was working in digital media marketing and I had a friend of mine who lost his wife and she was very young. She was like 33 years old to cancer. And I remember that day we went to go to her celebration of life and they have a little, he was a little guy at a time. He's a little bit older now, but he was 3 when it happened. And I made him a lasagna cause that's just what I do.
Right.
And so I told him I didn't know what to do. So I brought you a lasagna. And I went home after that and my cousin was over with me and I said something about sending a friend lasagna and she was like, that sounds like a business. And I was like, no. And so I started like thinking about it and I was like, how could I do that? And this is in 2019 before the pandemic. So I was just like, man, I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And then I told a friend of mine, Mel McMahon, who owns Indiana Owned, and she was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like, I loved my boss, and she had worked for somebody previously and decided, you know, amicably to go out on her own to have her own agency and everything.
Right.
And so when she was gone somewhere, I don't remember what it was, but I went on Indie Style in May.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my lasagna and I was there with Mel McMahon. Tracy Forner was on an Indie Style at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he said, this is the most original Indiana original idea that I've ever heard of. And I thought, well, wow, that's really
that's
cool.
Good.
That's
yeah.
cool, right?
Did I hear that?
And so I gave out a discount code and I got flooded. I got flooded. So, yeah, that happened. And then some other things happened. And I was like, I told my husband, I was like, I have to do this.
So you hadn't
like,
been doing it full time.
No. This is totally a side hustle. I thought, you know, I can do this at night, right? What could possibly happen? Right. And so I told my husband one day, I was like, I want to do this so bad. I just feel like I have to do this. And I feel like this is like my thing. Uh-huh, and if I don't do it, I'm going to regret it. And my husband, we've been married for 16 years in July.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. And he was like, yeah, just go for it. And so I quit my job. My last day was October 31st, but I had been making lasagna.
Sure.
Kind of out of my house on the down low.
Right.
But decided to get legit and get into a commercial kitchen. And I just went for it. So I started Send a Friend Lasagna in November of 2019.
So right before the pandemic.
Right before the pandemic. Yes.
Was that... did the pandemic scare you or did you instantly think, no, this is going to work through this or what happened at that time?
Did it help you or hurt you?
It helped. Definitely helped. The pandemic was very, it was a scary time.
Sure.
You know, and I remember, oh my gosh.
Especially started out, there was so much unknown, right?
We just didn't know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so, I remember people talking about like the government saying something about essential workers, you know, delivering food, you know, we need essential workers in the grocery stores. And I thought, well, I'm an essential worker, right? Because I'm delivering,
food
to people.
Yeah.
And so I just, I'd been involved in the social media community for a really long time in Indy. And I was just like, put it out there. And I was like, hey, if you don't leave your house, I'll bring you a lasagna. We deliver,
You
know, we did the whole contactless delivery.
Yeah.
We also wore masks,
all the safety things.
Yeah. And so people were like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really? And so, it just kind of went from there, but man, talk about, it was wild. I mean, the pandemic was wild even in the early days. Like I can remember trying to find ground beef. And it sounds like you know, like ground beef, what the heck, right? Well, I mean, like there was a shortage, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I would have orders, everybody pre-orders, and then they pick a day and then we deliver it that day. So I would have pre-orders for 15 lasagnas and I couldn't find ground beef. I mean, and then when I could, I was like paying $60 for 10 pounds of ground beef.
Wow.
And it was it was just crazy, right? So I got, you know, I had my mom looking for ground beef. I had my husband looking for ground beef because we could only buy three.
Right.
So we were all black market ground beef searching. It was crazy. It was a wild time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So when you started out, I know you have several different lasagnas that you offer now. Did you start out with a variety or did you start out with your basic staple, you know, meat and sauce?
Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted cheese and sauce because people are picky.
Yeah.
You know, kids sometimes are picky. Although every kid that has ever eaten my lasagna, I've never had a complaint. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe my picky kid ate this lasagna. So I started with like the basics. So like cheese and sauce, meat and cheese. I knew I needed a vegetable, so I did a vegetable. And then I made up this gorgonzola lasagna that has chicken and ham and sauteed onions. And it's from a recipe I kind of saw on Chopped.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of brainstormed it and just kind of made it my own. So yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
I think I want to try Jono's.
Ah, Jono's. That's my dad's. It's an ode to my dad. My dad loved the Meat Lover's pizza from Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
And so it has all the stuff that, you know, is on a Meat Lover's Pizza Hut pizza, but it's a lasagna. It is good. It is really good.
Yeah, I read up on that. Give the listeners
a website. So the website is sendafriendlasagna.com.
Yeah.
Nice and easy. All run together. Sendafriendlasagna.com. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the different
varieties. The cheese and sauce, meat sauce and cheese, gorgonzola, vegetable lasagna, gluten-free even.
Yes, I do gluten-free.
And it looks like you like to do monthly specials or different little
things.
Tell us about some of the different specials that you do throughout the year.
Yeah. So when I started, I wanted to do a Valentine's Day special because, you know, we were still locked down.
Right.
So I know Cindy from Circle City Sweets and, you know, we just talked over Facebook and I was like, hey, you know, I need a dessert. Can you make something Valentine's-y for, you know, a Valentine's Day special? She's like, yeah. So we did like a heart-shaped macaroon the first year. It was gorgeous and people absolutely loved it, right. You know? And I was like, well, I got to do something for Mother's Day because people can't get together with their moms.
Right.
So I've done, ever since I started, I've done lasagna and flowers and I've always fresh flowers. So I've always for teamed with, for, with like a local florist.
Nice.
So this year we're doing red rose bouquets. They're off of Washington Street. And I did flowers with Lauren 2 years previous. But anyway, so we're back together again. We're doing flowers and lasagnas next weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that, do you get an uptick on?
Sure.
Is like Mother's Day or Valentine's Day? Like what's the biggest push or does it vary?
It just depends, really. I mean, I know not a lot of people are ordering the Mother's Day lasagna special right now just because they can go out.
They can go out. Yeah.
Hey, I don't blame you. Sure. If you want to go out. I don't want to go out. Right.
I know. I feel that. I hate going out to eat on Mother's Day. Cause it's like it's everybody goes.
People-y. It's just like, no. I would much rather, you know, chill at home and, you know, eat something yummy and spend time with my son. So yeah.
You know, going out in public would be so much nicer without people.
Without people, right?
We've all, that little hermit inside all of us has really taken hold.
It really has. I was in sales, you know, for a long time. So I was always like on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't like to be on anymore. It's not, I mean, I can do it still, but sure. I feel like my level of exhaustion afterwards is just like, oh my God, right? I can't believe I used to do this every day.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Yeah.
That's what, you know, with the pandemic, that sent Mike and I both, he's always had a home office, but he's in sales. And so he was always out and about most of the time. Pandemic, of course, he was grounded. And then I came from the office and home all the time. Mm-hmm. And, it really has changed things a lot, but I was like, okay, I tend to be, I'm social. I like people, but I also really tend to be, I get my energy from that quiet time. Mm-hmm. So I'm more introverted in that way. And with the pandemic, working from home, staying at home, you know, ordering the groceries and picking them up and not even going in the store kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really could live in a cabin somewhere far away from everybody. And I'm okay with that, which isn't always good, right?
you
need some interaction.
So what kind of, you know, you started this business how long ago?
November of 2019. But I started side hustling it like in May.
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of pitfalls did you run into?
Oh gosh. I mean, besides
finding the ground beef,
I was going to say besides the pandemic, yeah,
besides the obvious,
you know, I was just so busy. I just didn't have time to think about it, really. And I was really fortunate to have a really great group of people around me that would help me, you know, promote the business. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started, you know, it was like maybe I would do 3 lasagnas in a day or something like that. But like it turned into, it evolved into like 10 to 15 to 20 lasagnas a day.
Wow.
And I mean, that's a lot.
Yes, that's a lot of lasagna.
Right. And I remember when I started, I wanted to do 500 lasagnas. My goal was to do 500 lasagnas throughout over the course of a year. Uh-huh. And I reached that goal by June. And I was so excited. And I thought, I'm going to do 1,000 lasagnas this year. And I did. I did over 1,000 lasagnas my first year.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. And I think the hardest thing for me is, I hate bookkeeping.
Yeah, the administrative side of things. I hate that
stuff. Yeah, I hate that stuff.
So it's so essential. That's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So hiring people and paying them to do things like that when you're, you know, a cash business. I mean, I didn't take any PPE loans or anything like that during the pandemic because I thought I was taking away from somebody else who probably needed it more than I did when I find out that everybody took one. But anyway, that was hard. And just, you know, the belief, I mean, you know, you think about imposter syndrome. It's like, how is this really happening? Is this really for me? Is it, I mean, and I had to let go of self-doubt. I just had to, and just put my entire, everything I had into it.
Yeah,
and that was, you know, it's my baby. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, that, and I am definitely my own harshest critic. Uh-huh. So,
so there's the challenge.
There's a lot. Right? Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of challenges.
And there is, it's kind of a growing pains, right?
Yes. Right.
It's growing pains for that. Mm-hmm. Do you find that, your fellow entrepreneurs that you've met or that you work with, you know, some of the local businesses and such, do they tend to work in that way? Or are some of them really into like the numbers and the administrative side of things? Or
I don't know anybody in the food industry that is into numbers besides how many covers they're doing that night or how many specials they're getting out the door that night. I mean, most of us are just very, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but the people that I know,
my experience
is that just, we're very creative people and we just think about, you know, stuff and it's like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to have to find somebody to do it because I think I need to do this.
Right, right.
So but I've been very fortunate to have a great group of people. I belong to a lot of different organizations for women and stuff, and which is really kind of strange because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and it's like when I was growing up, women were the enemy, right? And now it's like, no, I can't do any of this stuff without my group of lifting each other up. And
that's a nice change.
It is. It's a very nice change. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Because especially there was a time, and you can still see it some today, but there was a time of, there was definitely a separation or a battle, working women versus stay at home women.
Right.
You know, which is better, which is like, it's not better. It's a different, it's different, just different choice. Right. And then it was, if you were a working woman, well then, you know, it was that way, but it is much more so now, women being supportive of women and trying to, encourage them in their endeavor. Yes. So that has been a nice culture shift.
It has. It really has.
So let me step back for a minute and ask you a little bit about, because I found this fascinating when I first learned about commercial kitchen. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
That's crazy.
Like do you go shopping around? Are they out there? How do you find one?
So there's not a lot of commercial kitchens in Indianapolis. If you wanted to make a lot of money, you could open a commercial kitchen and make a lot of money.
So it's like a kitchen, and then because in my mind, I'm thinking like a beauty salon, sometimes like all the stylists or whatever rent their bay, their space or whatever. And, you know, of course that they make money, but they rent. Is that how a commercial kitchen, it's there and then you rent your space and time or whatever?
Yeah. So you schedule your time, and then I have like a refrigerator that is mine that nobody else can use. And I've got like shelves that are mine, but you know, we have people in and out all the time. Our mutual friend, we see each other all the time. And, so it's just, you know, there's a, you know, my area, and it's my area from this time until this time, and nobody can come in. So, scheduling is kind of hairy, but if you get there, I mean, you get your time and then, you know,
plan ahead, but, kind of thing.
I was in a different kitchen when I first started. Uh-huh. It didn't work out. And so, and it was fine, you know.
But so how do you find these commercial kitchens?
Just Google it. I mean, I Googled
like
it.
You look for like, anything these days,
commercial
right?
kitchen, right? I need a commercial kitchen, you know. So, yeah, and they have to be certified by the Department of...
Department of Health has to, they come and do regular inspections and all that kind of thing.
Inspect the facility and you, so, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I thought was interesting or creative is your business cards.
Thank you.
So you handed me your business card mm-hmm. and then I've seen them on online and some pictures and such. Mm-hmm. It's a circle. It's just a round circle. So what gave you that idea or how did that come about?
Well, it's a magnet, right? Because like I have magnets on my refrigerator at home and you know, like Domino's would give away magnets or mm-hmm. other people would give away magnets. And uh-huh. I thought, well, if I'm a food business person, then I'm going to stick my magnet in the card that goes with the lasagna and they can just throw it up there and they're like, oh, I don't know what I want for dinner. Oh, I can order send a friend lasagna. It's right there line of sight, you know, it's just kind of one of those marketing things. So yeah.
Well, speaking of that, how much lead time do you need? I mean, could I order a lasagna, you know, in the afternoon and have it for dinner that evening? Mm-hmm. Well, how much time do you need?
So I need at least 24 hours, but I have a calendar on my actual website so you can schedule when you want the lasagna. And then we have X number of orders that day. I make them all fresh. Me and I have a guy that helps me now. I was doing all of this by myself for mm-hmm. 3 years. And I was like Friday I was delivering. I made them and delivered them. And I was like, God, how did I do this? Back? This is a lot of work.
Yeah.
You say something like, so right now I know that my orders are, it's May. What day is it?
Today's the sixth.
The sixth. So I'm running. So you can't order anything until the 11th is the first orders that I have because I have a certain lasagnas I can make in a day, a certain number, like say the number is 15, it's 15. So if I get to 15, then it moves to the next day. So, or 15 or noon before noon is the cutoff for the next day.
Okay.
But I mean, like if you called me and said, I need a lasagna, I would be like, okay, unless I'm slammed.
Right.
Unless I'm completely
if you can fit
slammed.
It in, you're going to try to mm-hmm. fit it in yeah. such. So, mm-hmm. So making the lasagnas,
mm-hmm.
tell me about the recipe, how you come up with, I mean, you got any ragu going on in there? Or
I make all of my sauce fresh. There's nothing. Yeah.
Is that something that somebody taught you or you just?
Yeah. My grandmother, my mother kind of taught me how to, you know, do the sauce and, you know, the things and the spices that you put in it. And I just kind of made it my own mm-hmm. and it's a delicious sauce. I mean, straight up. I mean, it's a delicious sauce uh-huh. and I'm super proud of it.
Do you have it in a recipe or you just do it now?
So I didn't have it in a recipe, but the guy that
now
I
that
have,
you have
working,
helping you.
Yeah, we've kind of developed, you know, these recipe things or whatever. So, yeah. But so the idea is for him to be able to make the lasagnas and me go out and reach other people. Right. So, you know, we're trying to do it. It's a thing. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So have you thought about packaging and selling your sauce?
No.
That takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I don't know. I would rather people eat my lasagna. Uh-huh, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a guy, I can't remember what his name is, that he used to be on The Sopranos and he has this like sauce. And I was contacted by them a long time ago about marketing for them, not about my current business. But I thought, man, that just sounds like a pain. It really does. I mean, it just sounds like a pain.
Well, finding the source and such. Mm-hmm. And
consistency is mm-hmm. so important. And that's another thing is that, you know, I know what my lasagnas look like. I know what they taste like. And if they're not right, they're not going. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. this is a very high standard that I have, but that's, to me, that's the standard of success.
Right,
really.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously I think you're just in the Indianapolis metro area and you have a delivery kind of an area.
Yeah. How far is your reach right now?
Mm-hmm. So I do Indianapolis Metro, and then I do like the Donut County. So we're talking like Carmel, Brownsburg, mm-hmm. Greenfield, Greenwood. I'm trying to, you know, typically it's like a half hour away. I won't go any further than a half hour away mm-hmm. from Indianapolis. So,
well, I think of time, but I think of freshness too, right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have listeners all over the world and quite a few of them across the United States.
Yeah.
I think I read on your website that you can't ship it out.
No.
No, but you could call an order and send it to us.
You guys,
because we're local. So right. Feel free to order friends and family and send Mike and Nancy a lasagna.
You guys, I've gotten orders from everywhere really? In the United States. And I'm like, how do these people find me? It's so crazy. But I mean, like California, New York, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Florida. I mean, just everywhere, all across the United States. I mean, I've gotten orders from everywhere, and it blows my mind.
So what's the, and let's just explore that for a second. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know other companies, food companies, that make things and then they freeze it and mm-hmm. they pack it in dry mm-hmm. ice and they mm-hmm. ship it all over the world. Mm-hmm. What's your reasoning for not being able to do that? Or what's the roadblock?
I'm stubborn. You're stubborn.
That's a good reason.
Well, yeah, no, but the thing is, my thing is with my lasagnas is that they're fresh, mm-hmm. right? I mean, anybody can go to Kroger and buy a frozen lasagna and throw it in the oven. I'd like to think that mine is special, right? And there's a connection with me and my customers. And I actually had somebody, I've always said, do not do this. And I had somebody ship a lasagna, froze it, and packed it with dry ice and shipped it to their parents. And they told me kind of afterwards that they did it. And I was like, why did you do that? Because it's a liability,
right?
Yeah. I mean, if they're not packing it right, or if there's not, you know, something, it's a liability. And I, that's not something I really want to do. I think Centerfront Lasagna is, it's a home thing. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of is, you know, a home thing to me. That's why.
So you want to keep it local, keep it personal.
I do.
Keep it something special for you.
But but it's not something that I wouldn't like think about franchising later.
Yeah.
I've thought about that. And I've also thought about having my own storefront where kind of like, okay, so I'm going to, you know, spill some of the teas here, but kind of like Papa Murphy's, how they have their take and bake places.
Yeah.
So I would do pre-order like I always have, and you can come and get it from this hour to this hour and that's it.
Yeah.
And we would always do delivery because that's what we do. It's a convenience thing for us.
So do your lasagnas, they come already cooked or prepared to cook? So they're ready to bake.
All of them are ready to bake.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And you said you don't bake. You don't do baked goods.
No, I'm terrible. I can't. I can make anything. I mean, I can. I'm a solid cook. I think I'm a good cook.
Right.
I can make pretty much anything.
Yeah.
But I cannot bake anything. I mean, like.
I mean, you could bake a lasagna.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's hard.
That's different than pastries and breads and baked goods. There is a definite difference.
Yeah, just making that distinction for the listener.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But there's something scientific about baking that I just can't get my head around. Yeah. I just can't do it. Yeah. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't like to do it, but I'm too busy making lasagna to try and, you know, figure out how to make focaccia bread. You know, I can't. I mean, I can't.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I can reach out, like if I want something special or something sweet, I can reach out to the bakers here in Indianapolis and
there's
they can
a lot
get it.
That do it.
Yeah, yeah. They can get it done for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If someone were to want to start up their own business in a similar fashion of what you've done, what would be the one piece of advice or the one cautionary thing that you would advise them as they were to adventure?
Get an accountant and get a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get an accountant and get a lawyer. Definitely. And it's so weird with hiring people, mm-hmm. you know, people are, I don't know how to explain it. I have a 24-year-old son, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And he's just not like, he's like, work, this. And I'm just like, what are you? It's so strange to me. It's just so foreign because I have had a job since I was 15 years old, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so these kids that are 22, 23, 24 years old that don't have jobs, I'm like, I don't get it. Right. I mean, I just don't understand it. So hiring's a struggle. And I think that's across the board.
It
in
is.
Every it industry.
Is, I think,
it really
in
is.
Every industry.
It yeah. definitely is. Yeah.
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 And it's across the country. I mean, I was in California this week. Same issues out there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They can't find people to hire that will work. And
Well, and I will say, I've been saying for years, this is my little mantra. My family probably rolls their eyes and say, yeah, at some point in time, as all the baby boomers, which is a large generation, oh, yeah. exit the yeah. workforce, and a lot did during the pandemic, there are not the same number of people in subsequent generations.
No.
So aside from ability, pandemic, desire, you don't have the same number of people out there
right.
to do that. So that alone creates a bit of a challenge, aside from all the other mm-hmm. challenges that are out there too. Mm-hmm. Would you do it over again?
Yes, in a heartbeat, not even close. I mean, you know, I spent 13 years. I reinvented myself mm-hmm. completely because, mm-hmm. you know, the insurance identity was my identity for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, social media, I was Stephanie, the social media marketer, and that was my identity for a really long time. And, you know, it was hard to change, but I would never not do this. Like, I can't do anything else. There's nothing else that I can do. Right. I mean, I love it so much.
To follow a passion and lean into. Yeah.
And you know, people have said, and I was one of these people too. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're too late, right? You're too late to do this that you really want to do, or you're too late to do this other thing that you really want to do. And I am here to tell you, you are not too late. It is never too late. I will be 50 at the end of this month, and it is never too late to do exactly what you want to do. If you really want to do it and you feel it in your heart and you feel it in your soul, mm-hmm. then you can absolutely do it. I mean, I make lasagnas and deliver them to people,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, sounds crazy, but wait until you get one of them in your oven.
Yeah. for you yeah. friends or family that are going to send us one, right?
right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Johnno's. I want a Johnno's, folks. So when you ordered
to make it specific for Mike.
And the Johnno's. Gorgonzola one looks pretty good too.
So that's the great thing about, so I launched flights of lasagna.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. So I thought wine flights, I can do lasagna.
Flights are like the coolest idea yes. out there. yeah.
So you can do three of my lasagnas. So they're like third pans. So they're like this big or uh-huh, whatever. Uh-huh. And you can choose any of my lasagnas. You can choose one of all of them or one meat and cheese if you want three of those, or you can do a Johnno, a Gorgonzola and a meat and cheese, whatever combination you want, you can do it. So yeah, that's been really great.
I think that's in our future, Mike.
I think so.
It's been really great for like people that have like smaller families, or it's just, you know, guys or whatever, you know, you can always order a big lasagna, but if you want to, you know, grab right. a small one, put a couple in the freezer, you know, they reheat beautifully. So
yeah, it's yeah. just two of us. So we could do that.
Yeah.
Flight. Totally
yeah,
do that.
We could yeah. totally do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. yeah.
So yeah. what do you think? Maybe we should do the random question. Are you got more?
Well, I had just a couple other thoughts though. If you don't mind.
Go
so
for it.
is there anything else that you would be interested in doing? Are you, this is your niche and you're expanding from it?
Yeah. I'm not doing anything else. No, yeah. I'm not. No, I mean, it's like a dream
yeah.
really come yeah. true. And it's just, I feel so grateful to be able to, I mean, I worked, you know, in the industries or whatever sure. for, you know, I mean, I don't know how long, 25 years or sure, however sure. long, right? Yeah. And it's my time mm-hmm. and this is what I want. And I've created it from absolutely nothing.
Right,
It was just an idea on paper and I created it from absolutely nothing.
And it really started out as an idea just based off of somebody's comment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you said, mm-hmm. I sent a friend a lasagna and mm-hmm. they said,
That sounds like a
business. Mm-hmm. And boom, you got an idea.
Had you even thought of that before?
No.
That in conversation?
Not until that day. No. I'd never thought of that until that day.
It's funny how inspiration hits you at different times, right?
Right. Yeah.
Did you have any naysayers? Like when you first came up with the idea?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, good friends of mine, they were like, yeah, you're crazy. And I was like, you watch me do this. And I had people that were like, yeah, we're rooting for you. And it's like, you're not really. But that's okay, because you'll buy from me in about 6 weeks or 6 months or whatever. So, I will never back down. The lasagna train is not stopping.
Right.
It's full on board all the time.
Have you ever had like a big catering?
Yes. So my first year that I was in business, so nobody could get together for the holidays. Right. And I had a lady contact me from Circle City Links, and she said, I heard about your business. I think it's amazing. Can you do 45 lasagnas so for our virtual meeting? And I was like, yes, I can. And I did it, and we got them all done. I mean, of course I couldn't do it all by myself. I had my best friend, my husband, wrangled in, but we got it done. It was amazing. I've fed the Ben Davis football team. I've fed Chatard's football team. I'm doing 16 lasagnas for the Speedway Elementary School on Monday. I've done stuff for Tilton HR. I've done stuff for the Ronald McDonald House, like 100 lasagnas for the Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It really is. It's just
too fun.
It's so amazing to me.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Yeah, it really does. It blows my mind. I wish my dad were here to see it.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm. And it's touching too, right? I mean, you say from grandparents, but then parents, I know I lost my mom recently and I was watching early this morning. So we're recording this on the day of the coronation.
Right. Yeah.
And I told Mike, the dog that woke Mike up early. So he wrote his book, the last book, he'd get up early in the mornings and write, got up early this morning. And since mine's got in late from California last night, I got up and I thought, I'll take him downstairs. And I thought, well, I'll lay here in lazy boy. I thought, oh, the coronation's going on. I'll put it on. Mm-hmm. And I told Mike, I said, it shocked me because, as any of our listeners know, I had the opportunity to be in Scotland in September. I went with a friend. Cool. It was like a bucket list trip. Mm-hmm. The Queen died as we were flying there. So that was a very unique time to be in Scotland, close to Balmoral, Edinburgh, we did this long through hike, and on our rest day was the day that they did all the state events. And I noticed her daughter, Princess Anne, who was with mom constantly all the way down. And at that point in time, my mom was still with me. And I was like, that's touching. I can relate to this woman being with her mother to the very end. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't thinking about that. And this morning I got up and I turned that coronation on and I saw Princess Anne there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I even more relate to her after losing my mom, after spending so much time as, her primary care person and such. And, but it is fortunate when you have family and experiences that it's like whispers in your ear.
Right.
Right. Yeah. When these things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I know my dad is, super proud of me. Mm-hmm. I think he would be really excited that, I had a lasagna named after him. I think he would think that was pretty cool. So yeah. Yeah. One other thing I did want to mention too, is that I work with, domestic. So I work with Coburn Place, and that's a place in downtown Indianapolis, and they have housing for domestic violence survivors and their children. And when I got out of 2019 and went into 2021, my second year, I was like, I want to do something to give back, right? And so now I have a program that I kind of developed with Coburn Place, where they have a new survivor that comes in and they get a lasagna. They get one of my lasagnas in their refrigerator when they get there. So they don't have to worry about dinner for one night. And Coburn is an awesome place. And that's why I decided I just wanted to do that.
To give back. So do you do that? That's just your giving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You ever thought about having people sponsor that?
No.
Okay.
No, there's a company out there that does that already. I get confused for them sometimes. And okay. I have to kind of point them in the right direction.
Gotcha.
They started their business after mine, which is funny. Whatever.
So. I just didn't know if there was an opportunity, if there was a listener who was like, yeah, I'd like to do this.
I mean, maybe.
But better off to just let them order their lasagnas and support the business that way.
They just email me and tell me what they need and I take it to them, you know, and I'm happy to. I've arranged stuff with, I work with a bunch of different people like realtors and, you know, other places. They send their, you know, their they send a lot of lasagna. They get discount codes. So I'm working. I mean, I'm, you know.
Yeah. You've got a lot going on from a lot of different directions.
I'm a businessman. Like Eddie Murphy, you know, I'm a businessman. I'm doing business.
Doing my business.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, this has just been, it's been fascinating. I'm so excited to hear the details.
Thank you.
Around your company, know you and just the passion and excitement that you have. Aside from your website, are there any other ways that people can follow you, learn about you or whatever? Sure. So tell us about that.
So you can follow me on Facebook. It's just Send a Friend Lasagna. Instagram is Send a Friend Lasagna. Twitter is Send a Friend LAS01. But I'm basically everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other kind of special, I know you talked about Mother's Day and you do Valentine's Day. Have you thought of any other kind of special event kind of things or just focusing on that for now?
Well, so I'm doing a lasagna of the month. So right now my chicken Parmesan, which is really good, is my lasagna of the month. And so I've taken $5 off and I'm going to like, as that phases out, because I have like a fall lasagna and right now my Aunt Jean's lasagna is like my spring lasagna. So when I take Aunt Jean's out, that lasagna will be the lasagna of the month until I phase it out. And then I'll bring in the butternut squash. So it's just, it's a kind of a rotating kind of thing.
Right.
And as I come up with more ideas, I mean, I just, you know,
yeah,
I'll just do
it. I love it. And that's the thing we love. We love talking to people on this podcast. It's just the ideas, the excitement that they generate and how one thing leads to another and all of that, you know, it's exciting to see what's really out there that's good and in people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I'm hustling, man. I mean, it's.
So another piece of advice, you going into business, make sure you love it, but you will be working.
I've worked harder on this than I've worked my entire life.
Really?
And I thought traveling a 9-state territory for an insurance company was hard. No, this, I mean, I work my tail off,
yeah.
But man, I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's awesome.
I just wouldn't, I couldn't do it. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I think I've asked all my questions. Mike, are you good?
I'm good. Let's do the
questions. So which box you want?
I don't know. I mean, I like the Hyge thing. Let's do the Hyge thing.
Pick a card. There's three questions on it. You can pick the question. You have to answer it first. And then Mike and I have to answer it as well. If you don't like any of them, you can pick a different card. You can pick another card.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You can't go
I'm
through the like, whole deck. Like, you can pick another card. No.
Or you can switch and go to the other box if you want.
Okay.
Okay. If I could spend a whole day with any person, who would it be? So obviously it would be my dad if I could do that. But I am a huge Beatles fan and I think Paul McCartney is probably the most fascinating person. I've seen him 7 times in concert.
And oh, wow.
I remember when I was a child, my dad, you know, we would play Beatles records and, you know, dance in the living room and stuff like that. So if I could spend a whole day with any person, it would probably be him because he's had such a fascinating life. And when you go to concerts, he kind of tells some of the stories.
Yeah.
And I would love to just hear all of his stories, amazing things that he's been able to do.
So, Super talented. And
oh God. Yeah.
Ton of life experiences, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Mike.
You go first. You have me. You got me on the other one. You got to go first this time.
Just because you're not quick enough to poke in here and say you haven't figured out who you'd want to talk to is what it is.
Exactly. I don't have an answer yet.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of people that I would enjoy spending the day with. And you know, to your point, you know, dad, mom, you know, there's people who've passed on that I would love to spend a day with, have a lot of fun with. I've talked about in the past, Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters, Billie Jean King. Mm-hmm. I mean, just an amazing, amazing woman, mm-hmm. In all that she has done, especially, I think this year's U.S. Open marks the 50th anniversary of equal prize money in tennis tournaments because of her efforts. Mm-hmm. I think that that's cool.
There's just so many cool people out there. It's hard to choose just one, you know?
It is.
It is.
The interesting thing about that is on the airplane I was on last night, my second flight, the guy that rode next to me, we actually ended up, both of us had two flights and both of us lucked out with no one sat in the middle seat.
So you had extra space.
So we were either on either flight. So it was kind of cool. But I was talking to him and he is a bus driver for tour buses.
Oh, that's cool.
For musicians. Mm-hmm. So like this summer, he's going to be driving the chicks around. He used to be the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
He's going to be driving their tour bus later this summer. But he came to Indiana to go pick up a bus to drive it back to Vegas, mm-hmm. to pick up the group that he's going to be touring around with. Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't tell me who that was. Or if he did, I don't remember. But one of the things he told me is that, you know, at the end of the day,
They're just people.
You know, we've had a couple of people on the show that are cool people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're known nationally on television. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day,
people.
You know, we're just great to, it's just great to be friends with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about who I would want to hang out with for a whole day. There's a whole list that would be interesting. People like Bob Goff. That would be fun. He wrote the book Love Does and a few others.
Yeah.
As an author, I would almost any of the big name authors I'd love to hang with.
Be interesting.
Stephen King, obviously, because, you know, he's like a big horror writer, and I've enjoyed his stories. Dean Koontz, David Baldacci. You know, it'd be fun to kind of hang with some of those people. Mm-hmm.
We've kind of, over the last several years, reconnected with, I've got a group of high school friends. And just to spend a day with them, mm-hmm. that, you know, that's fun. I think about, like my nieces live all across the country, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's like, oh, I would love to do this with this one, or, you know, go hiking with that one, or, you know, mm-hmm. I think on the people that are here and now, I just need to make a list and make it happen. Otherwise it's not going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
And, I will say this too, to what you just said, Nancy, is that I've had this conversation with someone recently about how, you know, we should get together more, or we should get the family together. I'm like, yeah, you know, the answer to that is actually you take the lead and schedule it.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Cause that's actually what I've done with some of my family. I've started an annual cousin's lunch in the summertime for my dad's side of the family. Mm-hmm. And I've got an annual Pizza King thing. That has developed in the wintertime for my mom's side of the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, I want to go back to what you said. You'd love to spend a day with your dad.
I would.
And I feel that. I'd love to spend a day with my dad.
Yeah.
He's been gone for 23 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. A long time.
And it would be incredible to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life is short.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. It is.
Life is short. Eat your lasagna.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, definitely. Stephanie, it has been wonderful to get to know you and to talk to you about your business. Friends and listeners, please go out there, order lasagna. If you're not local to Indianapolis, like I said, feel free to send one to myself. I'm sure my daughters would be happy if you know them and want to send them a lasagna. Mm-hmm.
We would love to. You know, test it for you.
Yeah. And I love the way too, you're not only with Coburn House of supporting an organization that's there to help people, but how you are even in your specials, whether it's with the cakes or the flowers, that you're trying to use local companies. I love that concept. I love when we can go local and not be some, you know, mm-hmm. big distant organization that we're working with. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. It's about time to wrap it up.
Yeah, it is.
Bill White here. Thank you for your post-production.
Thanks, Bill.
And folks, we will catch you next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.